Today, we are going to continue, we are continuing on the Ten Commandments, but before we get into the Ten Commandments, I'm laying a little foundation so we can understand what the Ten Commandments are. I have been telling this every time I come here. Many people who are going to church, they don't know even if you tell them to name the Ten Commandments, they cannot even name the Ten Commandments. They don't know where the Ten Commandments are. But the Ten Commandments are not ten suggestions, they are commandments for us to obey. And they are not nine commandments, they are ten commandments. Including the Sabbath day is there. And that's why we have taken the Ten Commandments out of the church. We are not preaching on Ten Commandments anymore. That's why the children are not obedient to their parents. Because it's a commandment, it's taken out. And you see, we are not obedient to God. That's why people are worshipping idols, because it's in the Ten Commandments, it's forbidden. That's why there's a lot of marriage problems today, because it's in the Ten Commandments, it's forbidden. And we have taken out of the Ten Commandments. And that's why people are so greedy for their selfishness. It's the Ten Commandments. So we had to really get into the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, and see what it means. That's the rule of life. That's the law. The Ten Commandments was written by God, by Himself. So today, we are going to continue just laying a foundation, and pretty soon we are going to cover each and every single commandment. And as we continue, the subject that I'm going to teach today is Christ and the law. Is the law of the Ten Commandments perfect? Is it perfect or not? It's perfect. If it is not perfect, did Christ improve upon the law to make it perfect? Did Christ ever improve on the Ten Commandments to make it perfect? No. These are good questions. And where does Christ fit in the law? Now let us see some of the scriptures to show you that the law of God is perfect. If you turn with me to Psalm 19:7, we have been on this scripture before. Psalm 19:7. Says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So what does the word perfect means? The word perfect means it's undefiled, without error, upright. So it's absolutely perfect, means no error in it, no flaws. It's absolutely perfect. Let me give you another scripture, Psalm 119:96. Psalm 119:96. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Now, if the Ten Commandments is perfect, is it necessary then to add anything to a perfection? No, not at all. The Ten Commandments are perfect, absolutely perfect. Why it is perfect? Because it came from the perfect. Who is perfect? God is perfect. So whatever that God speaks is perfect because it came from His own nature, perfectness. So it is perfect. So if it is perfect, is it necessary for us to add anything to that perfection? Doesn't make sense, right? No, not at all. Now, if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. That's why God put this scripture in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 4, 2. Chapter 4, verse 2. And it says here, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Very clear, right? Now you understand why it says there, right? Because the commandments are perfect. You don't have to add anything. If you add it, you're going to spoil the whole thing. So you don't add to the Ten Commandments. Also, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Cross-reference to 4:2, Deuteronomy 12:32 says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take it away from it. So it says here, you don't add or you don't take anything out of it. Just allow it to be just like that. If you take it away, it loses its perfectness. And also if you add it, it loses its perfectness. Now, of course, there are some people who would say they will try to compromise on these scriptures. There are always people within the church who will come and compromise to their own opinion, to fit their own opinion. And they will say, well, the Lord is speaking not of the moral law here. He's speaking here of the ceremonial law. And we are in the times of grace. And God has given us the freedom. My question is, freedom to do what? Freedom to do what? Freedom to sin? Freedom to disobey and to dishonor the Ten Commandments? Freedom to ignore the Ten Commandments? Perish these thoughts. The Lord was speaking not of the ceremonial law, but of the moral law, and I'm going to show it to you. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. We saw the ceremonial law is being abolished through Christ Jesus, right? All the traditions, the ceremonies was abolished through Christ Jesus. When Jesus came, He fulfilled all of them. But the moral law, the summary of the moral law, is in the Ten Commandments. It still continues. So Deuteronomy 4, 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. Says here, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Where? This is Moses is giving the picture in Genesis, Exodus 19, right? How God gave them the law. So this is talking about the moral law. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. We saw that in Exodus 19. Just before giving the moral law, the Ten Commandments. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard from the sounds of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So He declared to you, His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, what? The Ten Commandments. And He wrote them on two tablets of stone. So you cannot compromise saying this is a ceremonial law, this is a Ten Commandments. It's a moral law. Not to add anything or take it away. As it includes, a lot of people are not observing the Sabbath day today. I'm coming to that. I can't wait till I come to that. They had taken off that. And also, what did Jesus say? They might say, well, that's in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? What did Jesus say? Our subject is Christ and the law. What did Jesus say about this? If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, 19, Jesus is talking here on the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Matthew chapter 5, Chris was reading that today, the whole chapter. We read from verse 17. Matthew chapter 5:17. It says here, do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Then it says here, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one little and one tittle will be no means passed from the law till all is fulfilled. You know what the tittle is? A little dot. Nothing is going to pass away. Then verse 19 says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men, so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Not supposed to break even the least of it. We are supposed to teach the commandments. Sad to hear the church is not doing that today. So in summary, what do we see here? The law is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. We cannot add, we cannot take it out. It's without error, it's undefiled. We do not need to add or remove anything out of it. Now, did Christ change the law? Or did He add anything to the law? Did He add anything to the law? If we add anything to the law, if the law is perfect, if we add anything to the law, Christ contradicts the law, because Deuteronomy says, do not add to the law. Understand? Deuteronomy says, we saw that, chapter 4, verse 2, do not add to the law. If Jesus add to the law, He's contradicting the Bible. Right? So did Jesus add anything to the law? Of course, how can He add anything if it is perfect? You don't add anything to the perfect because it's perfect. If He's going to add, that means it's not perfect. He wants to make it more perfect. There's nothing called more perfect. There's only perfect. It's perfect. Understand? Alright. Everybody's thinking now, right? Good. Now, but let us see some scriptures in Matthew chapter 5. Where Jesus said, you have heard what the law said, but I say, that looks like adding. Sounds like adding. And let us see some of the scriptures. I'm not going to go through every detail of it, but let's just see Let's go to Matthew 5:27. Matthew chapter 5:27. I have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Is that adding? Explaining? Now let me tell you why Christ put these words. There were people who were religious people who took the law of God and they applied the law of God outwardly. Even today, there are people who will take the word of God, they're outwardly, they will become more like Christians, right? But inwardly, they are disobedient to the word of God. So, there were Pharisees, hypocrites. They were outwardly, they obeyed everything like the law. They looked very religious people. But inwardly, they were disobedient to God. And these are the hypocrites and the Pharisees who not only lived in the past, but who lives in the church today. Outwardly, they look like Christians, but inwardly, they are not acting, they are not obedient to the word of God. So Jesus used here pretty strong language to the Pharisees. These are Jesus is saying here, you have heard it to say to those of old. That is old tradition. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, what they did was they twisted the Old Testament scriptures. They twisted the meaning of the law. The word here by of old time means, it means the old traditions, the old was distorted, okay? The Old Testament was distorted according to the traditions of men. And they made the commandments not any effect to their hearts. So Jesus was pretty strong when he came to the hypocrites. And if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 23:25, you can hold on to Matthew 5 and turn to Matthew 23:25. I told you they kept the commandments outwardly only, not inwardly. Commandments were given to the heart, to the man, to obey them inwardly. So Matthew 23:25, Jesus said to these hypocrites, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Then he keeps on going, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, if you are like unto white sculptures, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are like a dead man's bones inside. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within, inside, you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. See that? So when Jesus saw that, the law was meant to the heart. Not outwardly, just to keep some, you know, how God told in the Old Testament, write it on the walls, put it on your forehead, okay? Keep it like that. They did all that. But inwardly, they were disobedient. So Jesus did not add, he exposed the law. he exposed the law. And here, when Jesus, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 6, 25, Proverbs 6:25. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. So here we are not to lust after a woman in our heart. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5. He exposed the law. And again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus said, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. 32 says, but I say to you, again, he says, I say to you, that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. They took the law here, the law of Moses, and even if the wife was, you know, she burnt your toes, oh, I can divorce you. That's not what it meant. You cannot divorce what God has put together. Divorce is not a commandment. But it's permitted only under adultery. It's not a commandment, but it's permitted only under adultery. And just because somebody does something, we cannot just divorce. That's why the rate today, you know, divorce rate is going so high, because people are not getting into the Ten Commandments. They're not taking the word of God seriously. They're not compatible. It's not. It's not in the Bible. You love somebody, that's why you married, right? And so here, divorce is not a commandment. It's only under adultery. Let's take a difficult scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. That's a tough one, right? This is where I believe the church today says that Jesus is more loving. But God, the God in the Old Testament, is very wrathful. Jesus is love. He understands. But on the Old Testament, God is wrathful. They have separated God. One God in the Old Testament, real wrathful, the big stake always looking at you. And then Jesus in the New Testament, very loving, caring, always trying to hug you. Always understanding, we have separated God. Actually, the Bible says, God said, I the Lord shall not change. God cannot change. Because He's perfect. He cannot be changed because He's perfect. We are changing, aren't we? Because we are not perfect. We are learning every day. Why? Because we are not perfect. If you are absolutely perfect, do you have to learn? Do you have to go to school? No. So God's nature is perfect. He will not change. So why has the church split? The Old Testament, God is wrathful, and the New Testament, Jesus is more loving. Because they read scriptures like this and they really take it. They don't understand. They don't study. That's why Bible says what? If you are a workman of Christ, diligently study the scriptures. Diligent study is really digging into scriptures. A workman should be approved that he should be studying the word of God diligently. If you don't study diligently, you fall into that category and say, God of the Old Testament is wrathful, Jesus. I'd rather go to Jesus. The Bible says God is, He lives forever and ever. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. So the truth is, there is no contradiction in the Bible. The contradiction is in your own opinion. The Old Testament and the New Testament does not contradict, and God will not change as He is perfect. So what does it say? What does it mean when Jesus, God in the Bible, in the New Testament says that, you know, all that has been said, what is that? Where's the scripture? You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Truly speaking, hating your enemy is not in the Old Testament. What I mean is, hating the enemy is not a commandment in the Old Testament. There are many occasions you see God told to go and destroy the enemies. Israelites were used as an instrument to destroy their enemies because of their sin, idolatry. God told to destroy them. Because God is not going to take pleasure in sin. Sin has to be taken care of. It has to be rooted out. But here, we need to be very careful in interpreting the scripture. Here, it is not commanded to hate your enemy, but rather it was forbidden to hate your enemy. If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And also, if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 23, 4, verse 4. Exodus 23. Twenty-three, four says, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. Verse 5 says, if you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden and you would refrain from him helping it, you shall surely help him with it. And Proverbs chapter 25, 21. Proverbs 25, 21 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Now, did Jesus add anything? Of course not. You don't have to add to the perfect, right? He's not adding anything. He's simply telling the matter to the really, to the heart. This is what it means. So when Jesus said, love your enemies, he is already giving what is in the Old Testament. Actually, really speaking, love was commanded in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments. You can remember Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 22:37, Matthew 22:37. Actually, verse 36, a man came and asked Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. So the commandments can be broken into, right? The first part is to love the Lord. The second part of the commandments is for your neighbor. So Jesus is not adding anything. He's really exposing the truth because people took the law only outwardly. You don't add anything to the perfect because it is perfect. So Deuteronomy 4:2, it says very clearly not to add. Now, how about when Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you? How about that? Can you remember in John chapter 13 verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Is that an addition apart from the Old Testament? We just solved the problem here. We just said it. Because love was commanded in the Old Testament. And we read what it said. Right? So it's not a new commandment. We just went through that in Matthew 22:37-39. And Matthew 22:40 says, on these two commandments hang all the laws. So when Jesus said a new commandment, it is not a commandment that did not exist in the Old Testament, but rather it is being renewed. Okay? It is a commandment already existed in the Old Testament. So why did Jesus, Jesus said he did not come to what? To break the commandment, but to fulfill them. So that solved the whole problem there. That scripture alone. He didn't break anything. He didn't add anything. He rather renewed and explained it. The commandments. He fulfilled them. All the commandments. You understand now? Have a question, can we perfectly obey the Ten Commandments? The Roman Catholics say yes. But we say no. Who is right? Because we believe, not according to the tradition of men, we believe according to the scripture, we cannot obey the scriptures perfectly. I'm going to give you some scriptures. More scriptures. More food. Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 9. you that we cannot perfectly obey the law. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9 says, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. That's a question. When you see a question like that, the answer is negative. Right? You don't have to study Hebrew to know that. Who can say that my heart is clean and pure from sin? And also, if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 143, verse 2. These are good scriptures to witness. Write it down. Psalm 143, verse 2. 3 verse 2 says, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is what? Righteous. Then, of course, James chapter 2 verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Then another good scripture is, I think, 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. 1 John 1 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See how these scriptures flow together to show that we cannot keep the commandments. Cannot perfectly obey the commandments. Of course, we see in the Bible, the heroes of the Bible, the Old Testament heroes, Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, even Peter, Paul. If anybody had to be perfect, they would have been the perfect ones, right? But what do you see in the Bible? We see even they were not perfect. Their failures were exposed in the Bible, right? So we see that nobody can keep the commandments. Then how can the Pope say that he is without error? He is infallible. According to Roman Catholicism, the Pope doesn't make mistakes. He is infallible. He is without error. So the Rome says, you can keep the whole law and be perfect, but we say, no. According to scripture. You know why? We as Christians are living in the flesh. As long as you live in the flesh, you're not going to be perfect. Because the flesh and the spirit is constantly, there's a war. Saw that in the book of Galatians, right? So there's no perfection in flesh. That's why Apostle Paul said he saw another member warring against his mind. So, here we see that how Paul said, O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We see as we are wretched, sinful creatures that sin against the law of God. So there's no way that we can be absolutely perfect. But there are us, who was the person who was absolutely perfect, who obeyed all the law, who lived on this earth? Jesus. He is the only one. Only person who ever lived on this earth and who obeyed the law and who was absolutely perfect was Jesus. Nobody else. As he was born not from the earth, not from this flesh, he was born from above, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he didn't have that original sin in him. He was pure, blameless, undefiled, perfect. He kept the law. He fulfilled the law. And he never abolished the moral law. It still continues. That's why we need to obey God rather than men. So we as Christians should take the Ten Commandments seriously, because it's the rule for our daily life. It's the rule for our daily life. When we take the Ten Commandments seriously, meditate on them, then when we get into sin, when we see how sin is, when we fall into sin, we see that we have broken the law of God. That makes us, God makes us humble, right? Ten Commandments will humble you, humiliate you, break you. That's what the Ten Commandments are going to do. And it will convict you of your sins. The law keeps us humble. If there is no law, I'll tell you, there's pride. A lot of pride. There's too much pride in the church. There's no respect. A lot of pride. Want to do their own way. Doesn't want to listen to anybody. They're compromising. There's sin in the church. Outwardly, anybody can be nice, good, and do all kinds of things. But what is happening inwardly when nobody is there? Huh? Jesus, when he looked at them, that's why he was very strong at some people. He didn't mess around. He called them brood of vipers, snakes. We should, you know, there has to be a fear of God. That's why in outward appearance, we can always nicely clean the car and looks nice. We don't want to be hypocrites. What God looks at is not outwardly what dress you're making, what dress you're wearing, what car you're driving. It doesn't matter to God what you drive. And how much money you're making a month, how rich you are, what kind of house you live in. This is all outward for people to see. But what God looks is your heart and your motives. And we can nicely polish the outside very nicely and act like Christians. But inwardly, secret sins, that's where it is. We should not play games with God. And everybody is gone. All by yourself. God is still there. He hasn't left you. A lot of times we say, well, everybody is gone. I'm alone. But God is there. He sees everything. We had to be holy in the sight of God. The Ten Commandments are not abolished. The moral law is there. It's there for the church today. It's important. So we have on one hand the law of God. On the other hand, we have the grace of Christ. So when we sin, of course, we just now said we cannot perfectly obey the law. That means in this flesh, we are going to sin. We are going to sin. So when we do sin, the sin what we do is not for enjoyment. That means we are not going to always, wow, that was great. Let me do it again. Let me sin again. I like that. That's not what it means. So in that way, we don't continue in sin, in pleasure, always. when we do sin, what happens is there is a conviction. The law comes and says, oh, what a wretched man I am. And it will humble you. Huh? It will make you fall at your feet and pray to God. And there is grace in Christ. Right? So, as 1 John said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Wow. Isn't that me? Man, how the psalmist said before, if God is going to judge us, who can be righteous? If God is going to count my sins, how can I be righteous? Absolutely not. We praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ. On one hand, we have the law. We cannot take that law away. That's the one that sanctifies us and pures, makes us pure and makes that we will respect God and have fear for the Lord. That's on the one hand. If we take that away, then there's license to sin. There's no fear for God. You can live the way you want to. And on the other hand, when we do sin, Romans 8:1 says, we are not under condemnation. On the other hand, there is grace. As long as we are living in the flesh, we cannot obey the law perfectly. Right? So there is the law and there is grace. We need both. We need both. But it's sad that church has majored in one section only and not in the other. There's got to be a balance there. We need both. Let's pray.